It all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, take your Bibles and open to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. There are pew Bibles. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, it's on page 884 in the pew Bible. Or pull it up on your electronic device. I encourage everyone to have a copy of the scriptures before you this morning. Luke chapter 24. This morning we are going to look at verses 1 through 12. Follow along with me as I read. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. It all comes down to this. It was a couple years ago, December 31st, 2022. Barb and I had decided that year for Christmas, rather than buying each other presents, we would get tickets and go to the Ohio State Buckeyes playoff game when they were playing against the University of Georgia in Atlanta. We got into our seats, and we were surrounded by Georgia fans. There were only a couple Ohio State fans in the section we were sitting in. And the Georgia fans, they were ready for Georgia to just pounce upon and wipe out the Buckeyes. They were convinced they were going to run away with the victory. What a surprise they had when Ohio State led 28-24 at halftime. They couldn't believe it. All they had heard was about how soft the Ohio State linemen were, and they couldn't believe that these linemen were pushing their defenders aside. It even got more dismal to them by the end of the third quarter when Ohio State led the game 38-24. Unfortunately, the game didn't end at the end of the third quarter. It went on into the fourth quarter, and Georgia rallied and went up 42-41 over the Buckeyes. But the Buckeyes had a last drive in them, and they marched down the field. And shortly after midnight, with 8 seconds left on the clock, Ohio State lined up for the winning field goal from 50 yards out. And there was silence throughout the entire stadium. And all of you who are Buckeye fans, you know what happened. He missed the field goal. It all came down to that one field goal, and he missed it. I've watched the replay of it several times, expecting it to go through the goalpost. But it never has, because it all comes down to this. There are moments in our life that come down to just that decision or that one moment or the news that we receive. There's a man walking around. He's been carrying that engagement ring in his pocket for weeks, maybe for months, waiting for the perfect moment to pop the question. And if he's smart, unlike I was when I was young, he would plan that event very well. Nice restaurant, flowers, have everything. Sometime I'll tell you about how I engaged to Barb. It's a lesson on how not to ask someone to marry you. But he gets down on his knee and he pops the question. Now, if there are some of you here that are thinking about being engaged but are not engaged, now, let me give you a little advice on this right now. Some of you think it would be great if you're sports fans to do it in an arena with 20,000 people there or more and arrange the camera and everything. If you decide to do that, and that's great, please make sure you know what her answer is going to be before you do that. Because I've been in the stadium when she said no. Just think of the embarrassment. But it all comes down to that moment. Will she say yes or will she say no? Or maybe it's the doctor who's called. You haven't been feeling good for months. And he's run test after test. And now he's called you to come into the office because he has something he wants to tell you, but he doesn't want to tell it to you over the phone. It all comes down to that moment. Some of you have experienced going to the doctor. You're expecting, and you are as happy as can be, and they're doing the ultrasound, and you're going to find out whether you need to decorate in blue or in pink. And it all comes down to the moment. It all comes down to this. Well, this morning, I want you to know what we are celebrating here this morning, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it all comes down to this. Jesus was born into this world. His birth, in many ways, was like the birth of every other child, but in some ways, it was very unique and very different. He was born of a virgin. He grew up in this world, and he lived his life, only it was different too, in that he was totally and completely sinless. He began a ministry that lasted about 3.5 years, and as you know, he was taken and he was crucified. But 3 days later, he arose from the dead. And that's what makes him stand out. And that's why this event that we celebrate today on March the 31st is about that moment when Jesus arose from the dead. You are here this morning because you know there's something about this moment. There's something about this that changes our world. There's something about this that you must decide upon because your future hangs in the balance with what you're going to do with this event. So let's look at what we're told in Luke 24, 1 to 12. Let's consider it together. First of all, let's think of the women. The women, first of all, they are prepared, we are told. And at the end of verse 1, it says, on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. You see, Jesus was crucified. He was crucified on a Friday. And he died, and it was getting close to the beginning of the Sabbath day. Remember, Jewish days begin in the evening. So it's somewhere getting close to 6 o'clock in the evening with the beginning of the Sabbath day. So what they were going to do, they had to do quickly. So two men went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. They took the body down from the cross. They wrapped it in cloths and they put it in a tomb, an open cave. And they didn't have much time to prepare the body the way they would normally prepare the body. So they just wrapped him and put him there. And then they prepared the spices that they would come back to properly address his body after the Sabbath was over. So the women are prepared as they go to the tomb. But they're not prepared for what is about to happen. Because the next thing we see is they are perplexed. Because in verse 2, we're told, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. As the women were going to the tomb, they'd really given no thought about what they were going to do about the stone that was in front of the tomb. They were just still in their sorrow about Jesus, and they are rushing to go to the tomb at their first opportunity so that they can show care for his body. But they find the stone's been rolled away. And when they go into the tomb, they find that there is no body there. The body was gone. The stone had been rolled away not to let Jesus out. Make no mistake about it. There is no rock that could keep Jesus in a tomb. Jesus, the stone was rolled away so that they could see that Jesus was not in there. So they go in, and according to verse 3, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And they are perplexed about this. What happened to his body? Where is it? And then Luke says there were two men who stood by them in dazzling apparel. We know from other accounts that these two men are actually two angels. Now, when it says dazzling, it means that there is a brightness about them. And they are perplexed by what they see. Now, keep in mind, angels don't look very much at all like the pictures that we see them depicted in by artists. They're not these very feminine creatures with wings on their back that are standing there. But imagine two men in dazzling white. Two men that would look sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, with brightness coming out from them, dazzling white. I tell you this morning that if an angel were to appear upon this stage suddenly, we would all be frightened by what we would see. And they are frightened, and they are perplexed by what they're seeing. But the angels remind them. They say to them in verses 6 to 8, after asking them a question, Why do you seek the living among the dead? See, Jesus had told them again and again he was going to Jerusalem to die and then he would be resurrected. So why are you here? The angel said, why don't you guys get it? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that this is what was going to happen. And so the women are reminded. We see the angels. The angels question the women. It's like the angels look down from up above and look at us as human beings. And they say, why don't you guys get it? I mean, they're in the presence of God all the time. They have seen God work again and again from creation up until now. The angels were there at creation. They sang in joy over creation. They've watched, not quite understanding why God would be so loving to people like you and like me. God, why do you waste time on these dumb humans down here? I mean, some people have said that God invented sheep so he could find an animal dumb enough to prepare or to compare people with. Over and over and over again, they see how God does mighty things, and yet people continue to reject him and not follow. They have seen from creation that Jesus speaks a word and it happens. So why can't you human beings get this? Why are you here at the tomb bringing things to treat his body with when he told you that after 3 days he was going to be resurrected? He's been with you all for 3.5 years, did he ever tell you anything that didn't come true? So why don't you believe him? See, the angels question the women. And I think the angels kind of marvel a little bit on themselves. You know, the scriptures tell us that the angels look down. And as they consider our salvation, they look at it in wonder and amazement. Because there were some angels that chose to rebel against God and not follow him. But there's no salvation for them. So why did God make a way of salvation for such dumb people down here on the earth? I hope you're not offended when I say, why are we so dumb? But that's really the perspective of the angels as they consider us. They've reminded the women of what Jesus has said. And so now the ladies are all excited. And isn't it interesting? The first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus are the women. There are three that are mentioned by name, and then it says the other women. So there's a group of them that have gone to the tomb. Where are the apostles? Well, they're still in hiding. The apostles still have no hope. And so the ladies decide, we can't keep this news to ourselves. Let's get back and let's let the other followers of Jesus know. Verse 9, in returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. So they find the 11 apostles together and a group of others who are with them. And the ladies are so excited sharing. And can you imagine what that scene would be like? A group of ladies coming with the news that Jesus is alive. He is not in the tomb. The news that they were told this by an angel. I can just imagine all of them trying to talk at the same time. All of them just trying to share. They're so excited. It's just boiling out over them, you know, through everybody. Jesus is alive. He's not there. That tomb was empty. There were two angels there. And you should have seen those angels. We believe what they say. So they return and they tell all these things to the 11, to the rest. Now, the women who are telling them are very well known to the 11 and very well known to the other followers of Jesus. It's Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women. They tell these things to the apostles. Now, wouldn't you think the apostles of all people, they're the ones who have been with Jesus over his ministry, that they would be the ones most likely to believe, but they're not. They're dismissive of these women. Look at what verse 11 says. And these words seem to them an idle tale. And they did not believe them. The women, so excited, sharing their news. But the apostles do not believe them. Now, the word that's used there, the apostles determine these women are telling an idle tale. Now, the Greek word that is used here is a word that describes someone who is babbling because they're out of their minds. It's either someone that's insane or someone that is so sick that it's affected their minds and they're just saying things. Now, I know that some of you have experienced that either personally or with someone in your family. They've gotten an infection or something, and they just say some really weird things. And you just count it off, and you just say, okay, they're out of their minds. They don't know what they're saying. This is what the apostles think of these women. They're just a bunch of babblers. They're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. And notice, they're dismissing the whole group. Not just one person that they might say, well, she's kind of crazy to begin with. You know, that Mary, she's liable to say anything. But that's not the case. There's a whole group of the ladies that are all saying the same thing. And the apostles, of all the people we would expect to believe them, it would be the apostles. And I'm sure they told the apostles, the angels reminded us that Jesus had predicted this. But you're just a bunch of crazy ladies. Now, one of the apostles, named Peter, decides that he's going to go check it out. Now, notice he's among those in verse 11 that he said he did not believe. Peter does not believe. He's just like the rest of them. But he decides he's going to go to the tomb and check it out. We know in another account that Peter doesn't go alone, that John also goes with him. But Luke's focus is here on Peter. Peter does not believe, but he acted. And so we see in verse 12, it says, Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. And he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and went home marveling at what had happened. He marveled. He marveled. The tomb's empty. The tomb is empty. Jesus is not there. It all comes down to this. So let me ask you this morning a very personal question. Because the gospel is very clearly this, that Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, came to this world, died upon the cross to make payment for your sins and my sins, to provide a way of salvation for us. And he offers forgiveness of our sins. He offers it to all. And when we believe in him and recognize he not only died upon the cross, but he arose from the tomb to show that he has the power to do what he says he will do. It all comes down to this. What will you do with this truth? I want you to consider for a moment the resurrection. We just had a sliver of the account here. But let me give you a little more information about what happened that day. Jesus, after he died upon the cross, is buried as several of the women watch as he is being placed in the tomb. The tomb is sealed and a guard is set at the tomb. A group of women, three of which are named for us, prepare spices to go to the tomb to treat his body with. An angel descends from heaven, rolls the stone away, and then sits on it. There is an earthquake, and the guards who were commissioned to be there to guard that tomb to make sure that nothing happened to the body of Jesus, they faint, they pass out, and then they get out of there. The women arrive at the tomb and find it empty. Mary Magdalene leaves the other women there and runs to tell the disciples. The women still at the tomb see two angels who tell them that Jesus is risen and instruct them to go tell the disciples, to go to Galilee where Jesus will appear to them. The women leave to bring the news to the disciples. The guards, having roused themselves, report the tomb is empty to the authorities, who bribe the guards to say that the disciples stole the body. Mary, the mother of James, and the other women on their way find the disciples. They're on their way to find the disciples. They see Jesus. The women relate what they have seen and heard to the disciples. Peter runs and John along with him to the tomb and see that it is empty and find the grave clothes of Jesus there. Mary Magdalene returns to the tomb. She sees the angels and then she sees Jesus. Later that same day, Jesus appears to Peter personally. Still on the same day, Jesus appears to Cleophas and another disciple on the road to Emmaus. That evening, those two disciples report this event to the 11 in Jerusalem. Jesus then appears to the 10 disciples, with Thomas being missing. Then Jesus appears again to the disciples, this time with Thomas present. Jesus will later appear to 7 disciples by the Sea of Galilee. On one occasion, he appears to 500 disciples at the same time they all see Jesus. Jesus appears personally to his half-brother James, who becomes one of the leaders in the church. See, none of Jesus' half-earthly brothers believed in him until after the resurrection. Jesus commissions his disciples. Jesus teaches his disciples the scriptures and promises to send them the Holy Spirit, which occurs on the day of Pentecost. And right before the day of Pentecost, Jesus ascends into heaven in their presence. And friends, as he ascends into heaven, we have a picture for us that all who put their faith and trust in him and in him alone for their salvation will find the way of heaven through him and through him alone. It all comes down to this. What are you going to do with this truth? I'm asking you personally this morning, not what your family believes, not what your friends believe, not what others believe, not what you've been told here or there, but I'm asking you personally this morning, what are you going to do with this truth? Because it all comes down to this. Will you believe it? Will you accept him as your Savior? Or will you decide they're all just a bunch of kooks? They're all crazy. You may be sitting here this morning in the midst of this crowd that is gathered here. And you really feel out of place because you think we're all idiots. Who would believe such a thing? And yet, there's a gnawing feeling that you have that says, what if it's true? What if it's true? What if all these people who are gathered here this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, what if I'm the one who's gotten it wrong? Jesus came, and Jesus is speaking to you this morning, and Jesus is inviting you to believe in this truth, to repent from your sins, to turn from your sins, and embrace the risen Savior. It all comes down to this. What will you do this morning? Let's pray. We are thankful, Lord, that you are risen. And Father, I pray that you would help each of us that we might embrace that truth this morning. This day that we celebrate is Resurrection Day, where you showed that you had the power to give life to us. But we have to believe, Lord, and you empower us to believe through your Spirit. And Father, I just pray right now for every single individual that is here that you would speak to each and every heart and that people might put their faith and trust in you and in you alone.